Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you very much for asking. In fact, again, I would like to yield the floor to Professor Farrell Brenner of Smart Minerals, with whom we have already done several sessions, but I think because he's available, I see it as a fantastic opportunity to drink from the fountain of wisdom he represents to me. What do you think of that, Farrell?
I am certainly grateful that you think that I know something, and I can at least use this opportunity to share some positive energy and information with people. Because I want to. So, I'm happy to be here, and I feel honored to share. And what do you guys want to talk about today?
Well, one of the things that we've been talking about are nano minerals. So, I think a good place to start today is, you know, what are nano minerals?
Well, because of the fact that the products are built on nano minerals and the products are called a mineral supplement, that would be a very foundational question to answer. Nano minerals are minerals that are not the ordinary minerals, such as potassium, calcium, magnesium, and so on. And they're not the trace minerals, which the body requires in minute doses. They're minerals that modern science has had a very difficult time until the work of David Hudson even recognizing, but I think that they're generally considered to be exotic matter. I think that in general science, perhaps, they would be called exotic matter or dark matter, matter that's there, a type of material that's there, that's very difficult to measure. It may look to be invisible, or it may be stealthy. It may look like something else. It can disguise itself. So, for example, everybody knows what gold looks like. It's a yellow metal, harder than, you know, butter, for example. But as metals go, it's relatively soft. But when gold is nanoized, it loses the metal-to-metal bond. It loses the bond between the atoms and falls apart into a white powder. And that white powder has been referenced in many different civilizations in ancient times in different ways. So modern society has, in the last 15 or 20 years, just begun to recognize this class of material again. So these are minerals that are in a very, very small form. So instead of molecules and clumps and huge aggregates of molecules, they're so small that that they begin to exhibit the type of characteristics or qualities that quantum level physics describes. So those types of characteristics include superconductivity, levitation, what Einstein called spooky communication at a distance, which means that instantaneous communication between two things that are separated from a distance, as though distance doesn't matter. There are other things as well, but the nano minerals are actually in everything to some extent or another. They're in the air, they're in the water, they're in the ground, and they're in the food. But overall, in a very, very, in a very limited amount, when they are concentrated, they can become a very useful substance in themselves and used for certain physical processes and for biological processes as well. So the nano minerals are so small that they exhibit characteristics of what goes on inside the realm of the atom rather than outside the realm of the atom. So the regular rules and restrictions no longer apply. And what that's good for, apparently, from the research that's been done, are a number of different things, and some of them are very surprising.
Pharaoh, would like to actually just offer an analogy, which is, you know, if you think of an atom on a larger scale as if the solar system were an atom, where the sun at the center represents the nucleus and the planets out on the orbits represent the electrons or whatever else is orbiting around, the asteroids inside of the solar system, to me, would be about the representation of the nanominerals as I think of them. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that there we have another fine theory.
Good. I love it. Cannot be proven, but Martin believes it is that way.
It's very hard to conceptualize the idea of a quantum level from looking at the universe, looking at the solar system as an atom. If you wanted to look at anything about it like that, I would suggest rather that if you looked at the whole solar system at a distance and what it would look like from a distance versus what it would look like from inside the solar system, or rather inside the sun even, that it would be a very different panorama with a very different set of physical principles and so forth. Do you see what I mean? The inside versus the outside. We're living at the outside of everything. And quantum level effects are the inside of everything. And it is thought by many that this is the realm of super potential, the realm where everything is possible. So
the universal field of potentiality.
The universal field of potentiality. So let's take a look at the idea of Farrell's idea or theory of what nanominerals are. The idea is that creation is happening all the time, that through something that's called a zero point or a gateway, that energy is crossing over into our level, little bits and packets and waves of energy that are strictly would be recognized as energy, but that as they hang around and maybe slow down a little bit, maybe they start to get together. Maybe they say, hey, how are you? And let's get together and form a little group. And that little group might be the very first matter that's formed. The ancients called it prima materia, meaning first matter. And that first matter could become anything, anything at all. And as it progresses in its development, it might become silver, or it might become gold, or it might become platinum, or it might become something else. But the idea is that the energy is just beginning to form matter, and that very first matter has extraordinary characteristics, and as it's just beginning to become determined as to what kind of matter it's going to be, it has very great health benefits. So the first time I went to India in 1969, December, I was flying on an airplane in India, and they gave me a candy that was wrapped in silver foil. And I asked the stewardess, what am I supposed to do with this? And she said, oh, you eat that. That's supposed to be very healthy. Well, I was kind of curious about that. And I decided that when I was in India, with the several times that I visited there, I decided to look into that a little bit. And it turns out that that there is an ancient tradition, an ancient healing method called Ayurveda, Ayurvedic medicine, where medicine is made from the minerals, but the minerals are not as it's presented in pop culture, some silver foil on a candy on an airlines. It's reduced again and again and again to where the metal falls apart and becomes something that's unrecognizable as a mineral, and then your body can actually assimilate it and use it. Well, what's the importance of using nanominerals rather than mega minerals or trace minerals or any other kind of minerals? There are a number of benefits. First and foremost is that these nanominerals have the capability of being charged up, of being very highly charged. And what we do when we're eating is we're trying to get from food two things. One is energy, and the other are the building blocks. As adults, we don't need the building blocks so much. As adults, we need the energy more or less. If we could have the energy of a small child as adults, well, we'd be in great shape. And indeed, one of the traditions is that if you eat this sort of thing, then you will acquire the vitality of a child and might even become youthing, which is a return, restoration of the hair to its natural color, skin becoming smooth again, and so on. Well, my products are not oriented necessarily to that. My products are specifically designed for the mental effect. I'm looking to present the mental effect as a message inside this type of material, which, again, through my research, has been shown to be a very good material to record the message and to hold it. Okay? So, Scott, I think you said something about Dr. Emoto and the water.
I think last time we were talking about Dr. Emoto and how if you thought loving thoughts or you thought hurtful thoughts, that the water would show those differences, either in beautiful crystals or grumpy, clumpy water when you were taking it through a microscope. So one of the things that you said that I thought was fascinating, and I never thought of when I'd heard people or even Dr. Emoto talking about the impact of thoughts on the structure of water, was, oh, that's great, you have this loving thought go through and the water goes, ah, I'm loving and everything else, and then the next second you're mad and you've got this mad thought going. Of course, what does the water do? It kicks the love out and becomes mad. So and then you had mentioned that you were able to actually hold these vibrations of love in the solutions, and I was very curious about how that worked.
Well, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. The problem with many substances is that the next emotion or idea that comes along overwrites the previous one, just like when we record over something on our hard drive. The other information may be there someplace, but the most recently recorded one is the one that's presenting and most powerful and the one that gets recovered. It's the one we can read and use. So I needed a medium that I could record on, and learning how to record and what medium to record on and what message to record on is what took so many years of research. But just from the point of view, nanominerals, which have also been called, biblically, it was called manna, M-A-N-N-A. So the manna from heaven, we think, is that same white powder of gold. And when Moses came down in the from the mountain with the Ten Commandments and saw that the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf, in the Bible it says that he burnt the golden calf and distributed it to the Israelites to eat. Okay, so this manna, this white powder of gold, which was also very clearly a part of the ancient Egyptian culture, and there's a hieroglyphics of that. The symbol, the hieroglyphic for the white powder of gold, was a little cake in the shape of a conical, elongated pyramid, sort of. And these cakes were often shown as being presented to the gods or to the pharaoh. And it was Pharaoh's special food, in the same way that worker bees would prepare a special food for the queen bee. This was that special food. This was that Pharaoh food that was meant to transform the Pharaoh into a godlike being. So what is it about nanominerals? What is it about white powder of gold that anybody would possibly think would transform somebody into a superior being? Well, even in modern days, with the research that we've done, we found that ingesting the nanominerals causes the brain to become balanced. And measuring the left and right hemisphere, there's usually, almost everybody has very gross imbalances between the left and right hemisphere. And nanominerals, the ormus, the white powder of gold, tends to balance that out, and it's very dramatic on the EEG. And also, there's a lot of the slower and deeper brain waves are exhibited. There's been a bunch of research done with it, and as I said in a previous session, David Hudson has a world patent. In several countries, he has patents on these materials that they exhibit levitation and invisibility and superconductivity and so on. I'm familiar with a scientist here in Texas who studied with, he's a biochemist, a PhD biochemist at the University of Texas, and he studied with a tribe in South America, and they taught him how to make nanominerals, an ormus complex, using a fermentation process that has survived thousands and thousands of years in this tribe. And it was called the shaman's medicine. It was the shaman's medicine because the shaman was the one who got to eat this stuff. It was the royal jelly for the shamans, this nanominerals, ormus, the white powder of gold, the manna from heaven. So if a person who is studying in the one of the disciplines of martial arts or qigong or tai chi, it's known that a person can acquire much more energy in their system through certain diligent practices that are accomplished over years. And if a person acquires enough of that energy, enough of that qi, that the person may seem half their normal age and may indeed live for quite well past the 100-year mark and still be in good health and free of disease. And so one of the ways to acquire that extra energy, that super amount of energy, rather than doing years and years of practices, which are okay no matter what, I mean, they're healthy to do, and I'm not arguing against it, but a great supplement is to use highly charged nanominerals, which then become bioavailable, the little batteries that are the nanominerals can be used by the body for their own processes. Is that clear?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
So in the same way that Hawkins, in his book Power Versus Force, describes that as a person's level of consciousness becomes higher and higher, that the person becomes more and more disease resistant until he gets to a certain point where his level of consciousness is high enough to where he might never get sick at all, and even their body would slough off a poison if they ate it. Well, this idea of sloughing off a poison, that being able to neutralize, that the body can neutralize poisons readily that would kill a normal person, this is an age-old idea in the field of yoga from East Indian yoga. And was
Beryl, you reminded me of a book I read. It was not a biography of this fellow who was a drug addict, and he went to the Himalayas, into Tibet, and got with these monks and was deciding that, you know, sort of half-heartedly deciding he wanted to join them and blah, blah, blah. And they took him up this mountain, and they were sitting around a fire, and it was cold, and it was nighttime. And the one of the monks looked over at him, and he had a stash of heroin, like, and not a small one. And the guy reached over, plucked it out of his pocket, and says, "You can't have this anymore." And he was like, "What?" And the monk took it and ate it all. And he said it was enough heroin to get an elephant high. And then the monk sat down and they continued their practices, and he's watching this guy. He no effect on him at all.
Right, so, right. That is an exact example. And another one was given by Baba Ram Das, also known as Dr. Alpert. In his biography, he has written that he was with his spiritual teacher in an elevator and going on the way to a talk. And at that time, Baba Ram Das was somebody who thought it was great to be eating LSD, the hallucinogenic LSD. And his guru, his teacher, was watching him carefully. And Dr. Alpert, Baba Ram Das, offered some to his guru. And his guru didn't take some. He took it all. He took the whole thing and he stuck it in his mouth. And again, the same thing. It exhibited no signs of inebriation, hallucination, loss of control, nothing at all. A normal person would have just fallen to the floor and become completely immobilized. This is exhibited in many different cultures, in many different ways. If you track the supernormal, if you look for what's good, what's best, and what's extraordinary, you will find that there are many examples of this, and they all have in common a higher level of consciousness and a higher level of energy. And oftentimes, these two things are confused with one another. They are similar, but they are not the same. They can interplay with each other, but they're not the same. Level of consciousness, I would propose, is more directly concerned with the intelligence that's in the information that's in a person's system. Whereas the energy level is something else entirely. And with the nanominerals, with the ormus that we use, with the white powder of gold that we use, we are concerned primarily with the information that we put in there. But in order to deliver that information with sufficient clout, we know that we have got to supply a powerful amount of energy to charge those nanominerals with. Indeed, there are many consumers of ormus, of these nanominerals, that the primary complaint is that after they take it once or twice, they don't notice anything anymore. Whereas I've had people who use the gift, for example, for years and say that they still notice a hit when they take it. And one of the reasons is that I keep raising the energy level with it.
Well, I would like to say this, though. I have had a good number of people contact me saying, I loved the effect of the gift, but it didn't last very long. It just wore off. And I would speculate that there are two issues at play. One of them might be the new normal, and the other one might be that it will probably deplete the available trace minerals, and that the person should be supplementing with that. Do you have some thoughts on it, Farrell?
Oh boy, that brings up a lot of thoughts. The new normal is that when we enter into a room that has a very distinctive smell, it's quite overpowering at first, and then after a few minutes or so, generally speaking, we adapt to that. That's the new normal. So once we are used to it, we stop noticing it, and that can also happen. When people take drugs, they, quote, get high, end quote. And for the most part, that taking of drugs where people get high is actually where the body is using up the bioenergy in the body at many times the normal rate. And that's what gets them high, is that utilization. When people use ormus, which is the nanominerals, which is a nutritional product, which is naturally occurring in all food and in nature, but very highly concentrated in these substances, they are getting an experience of well-being or getting high in many cases, not everybody, because not everybody notices, but for those who do, and it's the exact opposite of taking drugs, that what they're noticing is that their energy level is going up. It's increasing. It's the shift from a lower energy state to a higher energy state, and that's the new normal. Whereas after you take LSD or cocaine or something, you're dragged out. In fact, one of the books that I read in the 60s when I was studying those types of substances, psychedelics and so forth, was a book by Robert S. DeRopp, a biochemist, called The Master Game, in which he describes how much of the body's energy is used up by one hit of LSD, and that if you took it too many times in a row, you would become impotent. And that's exactly what I noticed in the people in the drug community. They were becoming impotent, and they would lose the ability to basically operate at a higher level. I'm sorry, over a period of time.
Right. So Farrell, that brings up just a quick question I want to ask you, relating back to Martin's question. So I get the gift. I'm putting a drop on, say, every 4 hours over my heart chakra. I'm noticing, wow, you know, I can really see some, feel some differences, right? And it's helping me with my meditation practice or my energy levels or all those sort of good things. Then we hit this kind of flat line. Just because I think that it's the same doesn't mean it really is, does it?
It means that that's the new normal. As Martin was so wisely saying, we become accustomed to it. But if we stop taking it completely for a while and then take it again, you'll notice it again. There's this thing about about our ability to perceive. Most people cannot directly perceive the ormus. Most people cannot directly perceive the nanominerals, but some people can feel them. Some people can smell them. Some people can taste them, and so forth. The ability to respond to it, how sensitive people are, it varies very wildly, and it also varies from day to day, and it depends upon what you eat. And also something else that Martin said, the trace minerals in the body are an intermediary step between the nanominerals and the gross minerals. You could say that the gross minerals, which constitute, you know, our hair, skin, teeth, and bones, in other words, the solid part of our body, is primarily made up of protein and of course, all the water that's in there. Our body is sort of like a big bag of water, you know. But the solid component is, besides the protein, are these minerals. So on the outside, it's those gross minerals. And on the inside, there's these nanominerals that are the energy core. And in between that, we have trace minerals. So what I learned in my energy research decades ago, when my wife and I were going through a big stage with using devices, inventing devices and developing devices for high levels of energy, is we fell ill. We became sick. And instead of feeling better and better, we went from better and better to feeling worse and then much worse. And much worse than we started out. And eventually we found out that our systems when we're in a high energy state, we had depleted the trace minerals. And so this is a key. There are some trace minerals in the gift, but I recommend, when people ask me about it, I recommend that they take additional trace minerals, especially now, because the gift, each time we make it, has a little bit more energy, a little bit more charge in it each time. So, and the whole planet, Farrell, is becoming more chargy too. So it's
like
a key.
Farrell, yes. I would like to just interject here to tell people that, yes, we also have these minerals available. You know, you can look up under multi-minerals at the Life Enthusiast website. We have three or four different versions of it that are highly compatible with the usage of the nanominerals.
That's good to know. Remember, we're talking about the trace minerals as opposed to the gross minerals, and you can take them in combination together, of course.
Right.
Okay.
So Farrell, you said earlier, because I want to kind of tie this all together, because I think it's really important, because so many times people kind of go for a quick fix, or they try something and then they forget about it, or they don't do it anymore. And we know that minerals are something that are used up in our bodies constantly. All of the body processes need them. Blah, blah, all that sort of stuff. And then we also said, you know, some people take it, they feel good, and then after a while they hit, there's a technical term for it, but they hit that plateau, and they don't feel it. And because they don't feel it, they think nothing's happening. And I want to just make a very strong point that something is still happening as you continue, even if you're not feeling it. And you said that the higher our consciousness goes, the less likely we are to experience illness.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So as we take the gift, of course, that's going to continue to increase our consciousness. I may not be aware of that, I don't have a scale that I can just, you know, put my hand on and it tells me, oh, your consciousness has gone from 1 to 2. Congratulations. It's a very subjective thing in terms of us perceiving our own consciousness. But if that's the case, then even if I'm not feeling any difference, and I'm taking the gift, my consciousness is increasing, my opportunity for illness is decreasing, which of course, and my vitality is increasing, because of course we're all about vitality for you and the planet, and I think that's a really important thing for people to understand. Like, oh,
right.
Yeah, you can when you chew on a chewable vitamin C, and let's assume that that's helpful, right? So, you know, Martin might say it isn't, but, you know, do you feel something? Like, no, I feel the taste of orange vitamin C in my mouth. I don't, you know, all of a sudden they're bouncing off the wall or anything like that.
Right. There's no receptor. There's no receptor for directly noticing that we have a vitamin C deficiency, or for that matter, a vitamin D deficiency, or for that matter, so many things we have no receptor for to know that we're deficient in it. And again, for most people, the awareness of the ormus, of the nanominerals, when it's in a deficiency state, we may not notice. But if, especially if a person continues to use it and uses it with intent, there is an intent in the gift. But if you additionally use it with your own intent, which is the general intent, is I value and accept myself. If you apply that to anything and everything in your life, you can begin with I value and accept myself. You can take it through the four steps that we have listed on the website, which the fourth step is I deeply and profoundly value and accept myself regardless of all my faults and shortcomings. That's a way of saying I am open and flowing, you see, to the universe. But you can do that. You can apply that to anything and everything. And there are healing practices that are based around that idea, just doing that mentally. It's called the blessing way. It means to honor and to accept everything in your life, your food. And what happens when you honor your food that way? What happens when you acknowledge your food that way? The vibration in the food goes way up. What happens when you do that in your home, when you say, thank you, a simple prayer of gratitude, a simple statement of gratitude? It raises the vibration, and it can be measured. And by the way, in measurement, when we did these studies, when we were developing these products, we took three different types of measurement to make sure that we could actually validate that this stuff was working. Because just like you and just like Martin have said, people don't always know that it's working. And as I've discussed with many healers, who are different types of healers, like acupuncturists or energy workers or whatever, people don't necessarily notice when they're getting better. The people around us notice. Isn't that funny? The
yeah.
people around us. Oh, he's so much nicer. Oh, look, he's smiling again. Oh, you know, we know he's feeling good because he's humming. You know, he's whistling. Oh, look, he's drawing again. Oh, look, he's working. Oh, look at how nice he's playing with the kids. All these different things that people around us see that we, while we're inside of it, we may not be noticing that that's where I am at. And we go, oh, well, the gift, it's not doing anything for me anymore. Yeah, it just put me there, and it's helping me to stay there. And the longer I stay there, the longer that's who I am afterwards. So when you first start taking the gift, when you first start using the gift, maybe it lasts for 4 hours. But my wife would use it, and she says, take it one day, it lasts me well into the next day. You see? Of course, you know, we're talking about somebody who's extra special because she was able to put up with me, so we know she's practically a saint.
That's right.
I mean, no joke. But anyway, so when we would measure people, we would not only have them measure what subjectively they would feel in the moment. We'd have them focus on things that were problematic for them and say, how disturbing is that on a scale of 10? They would say, well, that's a 7. Well, let's take a little bit of the gift. Well, how disturbing is it now? Oh, God, that's weird. It's gone down to a 4. Well, let's have another drop. Oh, now it's down to a... Well, what do you notice now? I'm having trouble noticing it. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with me, with you. It's gone. Oh, gosh, I guess it is. Okay. So that's one measurement. And measuring them kinesiologically, when we say, is it true that, you know, that you now value and accept yourself? And a person tests weak when they first say it, but then after using the gift, they test strong. That's another way, a separate, completely independent measure, you see? It's separate from them. And by the way, the best way that we've learned to do that is to not say it out loud, but to say it subvocally, so the person doesn't even know what question is being asked, so they have no way of faking it. And a third way is that we ask a person, we take careful interviews as to what's changing in their life. And we find out that we get reports. We will often ask for a report from the doctor to write down what are the person's numbers and bring that in on the doctor's notepad. You know, I want to see if that's actually working for you. Or, I was able to find that relationship I was looking for. careful notes as to how the person's life is changing. So it's not just their subjective experience, it's not just their kinesiological measurement, a laboratory measurement in the moment, it's also, last but not least, the validation is the person's life changes. Well,
on that note, gentlemen, it is huge. On that note, we have run out of our allocated time for today, but we will definitely want to reconvene because, as you can see, this thing is getting better and wider and deeper. And there was one thought that I really wanted to interject, and that is the concept of zeta potential, which is essentially the integrity of cells. I'm sure we can't cover it today, but I would like to get a note in for our listeners that we should. So, Scott, do you agree that we need to defer further questions for the next episode?
Absolutely. I know we are coming to the end, and Farrell, I want to thank you very much for sharing your enthusiasm and your knowledge once again with us, because it's been very enlightening.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So
thank
here
you,
we
go. Thank you, Martin.
Yeah, this is www.life-enthusiast.com. Call me at 1-866-543-3388 if you need more information. And this is Martin, Scott, and Farrell for Life Enthusiast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.